55. To Apollon Nikolaevich Maikov. Dresden. March the 25th, April the 6th, 1870. The first half of the letter deals with business matters. The job for the Ruski Vestnik will not particularly tax me, but I have promised the Tsaria a real piece of work, and I want really to do it. This latter has been maturing in my brain for 2 years past. It is the same idea about which I have already once written to you. This will be my last novel. It will be as long as War and Peace. I know from our one-time talks that you will approve the idea. The novel will consist of 5 longish tales, each of 15 sheets. In these 2 years, my plan has fully ripened. The tales are complete in themselves, so that one could even sell them separately. The first I intend for Kashpirov. Its action lies in the 40s. The title of the whole book will be The Life Story of a Great Sinner, but each part will have its own title as well. The fundamental idea which will run through each of the parts is one that has tormented me, consciously and unconsciously, all my life long. It is the question of the existence of God. The hero is now an atheist, now a believer, now a fanatic and sectarian, and then again an atheist. The second story will have for its setting a monastery. On this second story I base all my hopes. Perhaps people will admit at last that I can write something but pure nonsense. I will confide to you alone, Apollon Nikolaevich, that in this second story the principal character is to be taken from Tikhon Zadonsky, of course under another name, but also as a bishop who has withdrawn to a monastery for repose. A 13-year-old boy who has been concerned in a serious crime, a lad intellectually mature but utterly corrupt, I know the type, and the future hero of the novel as a whole, has been sent by his parents to the monastery to be there brought up. The little wolf, the little nihilist, there comes in contact with Tikhon. In the same monastery is to be found Chardaev, also, of course, under another name. Why should not Chardaev have spent a year in a monastery? Let us suppose that Chardaev, after that first article which caused him to be weakly examined by physicians as to his state of mind, had been unable to refrain from publishing a second article somewhere abroad, say in France, it is quite conceivable, and for this article he gets banished for a year to a monastery. But he is allowed to receive visitors there, for example, Bielinski, Granovsky, even Pushkin and others. Of course, it is not to be the actual Chardaev. I only want to display the type. At the monastery there is also a Paul the Prussian, a Golubov, and a monk Parfeny. I know the milieu through and through. I have been familiar with the Russian monasteries from childhood. But the principal figures are to be Tikhon and the boy. For God's sake, don't tell anyone what this second part is to be about. Usually I never tell anybody about my work beforehand. Only to you would I whisper it. Whatever others may think of the value of my plan, to me it is worth more than aught else. Don't talk to anybody about Tikhon. I have told Strahov about the monastery idea, but said no word about the figure of Tikhon. Perhaps I shall succeed in creating a majestic, authentic saint. Mine is to be quite different from Kostanshoglov, and also from the German in Goncharov's Oblomov. I shall probably not create at all, but present the real Tikhon, who has long been shrined in my heart. But even a close, faithful delineation, I should regard it as a great achievement to succeed in. Don't talk to anyone about it. Now, to write this second part of the novel, which goes on in the monastery, I must absolutely be in Russia. Ah, if I could but bring it off! The first part deals with the childhood of my hero. Of course, there are other characters besides children. It is a real novel. The first part, fortunately, I can write even here. I shall offer it to the Tsaria. Will they not refuse it, though? But 1,000 rubles is no very excessive fee. Nihilism isn't worth talking about. Only wait until this scum that has cut itself adrift from Russia is quite played out. And do you know, I really think that many of the young scoundrels, decadent boys that they are, will sooner or later turn over a new leaf and be metamorphosed into decent, thoroughgoing Russians. And the rest may go rot. But even they will finally hold their tongues for sheer impotence. What scoundrels they are, though!